Elliot, how are we?
I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
Well, we're good. I'm wondering, we're kind of looking at this game tomorrow in Montreal, and then, boy, if the Habs happen to win this thing, the puckering that may go on in your city facing another Game 7 for the Leafs.
It's already started.
It has, hey?
Yeah, you used to see the text messages I was getting last night. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. What do you make of
it? It doesn't take a lot for this city to get really negative. Oh, this is a disaster.
Yeah, all of a sudden, you know, the confidence in Jack Campbell has gone down a fair bit, and now it's questioning Austin Matthews.
They just assume the worst. Yeah. I mean, they've kind of been conditioned to it. Like, I get it.
17 years,
yeah.
Yeah, they kind of do assume the worst, no question about it.
Well, and I had to look at one of the after the game. Well, how come William Nylander's minutes were so far removed from Austin? Well, he played 17 and 24, I guess. So like, the questions that Keefe had to answer and has to answer from the media and the people there, I bet it is a full pucker. And you know what? This is for next week, I guess. And I don't think it happens. I think the Leafs find a way. But
I generally think they've been better this series, but
yeah,
you know, you get your things go certain ways. You got to be prepared to ride the roller coaster.
I mean, would it be one of those things where so much is invested in this round that it could cost somebody a job? Like, is it that? Would it be that big of a deal?
You know, I think we've all kind of wondered here what would happen if they didn't win a round. You know, we'll see. Let's I do think that they believe in the direction they're going in. They had a really good season. They didn't have very many down lapses. You know, I think they'll close this one out. I do. But, you know, I mean, to be honest, I didn't think it would go less than six. We'll see. But I think it's hard to say that right now. But I do think this year the expectation was they would win at least one round. So if that doesn't happen, we'll see.
Yeah, I've been bang on so far. I had the Oilers winning in a short series and the Leafs winning in a short series. I did not see either thing. Let's talk about the Oilers. There's been some days to decompress. Obviously, the Ethan Bear BS took away from it a little bit. But as far as where the Oilers go from here, what's your take on what will happen now in Edmonton?
Well, I think one of the things, like I actually went back and I watched Ken Holland's presser a second time because, you know, there was one quote there that stood out. He doesn't necessarily think they have to make a big trade. So I kind of listened to it again. It's clear to me that, you know, they're going to bring back Smith. We'll see what happens elsewhere in goal. He said they'll probably do a buyout. I got to think Koskinen, it's possible he's the guy, and maybe Neil. But the problem with Neil is he's on your cap for 4 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not as convinced about that one. I think it's more likely to be Koskinen. Then on defense, like, they're going to take care of Nurse. He's going to sign a big deal in a year, if not sooner. And they've got to have Bouchard play. They're going to re-sign Larson. Bouchard's got to play. They didn't play him this year. It was kind of a lost year for him. So I really think that what they're going to try to find out is who in their organization is going to be able to play. I think Bouchard will. I think McLeod will. That's one of the things I thought the Oilers should have done the other night in the long overtime was give McLeod a shift or two, see if his energy could help him. But, you know, I could see them going after a guy like Hyman if he hits the market. But generally, I think what they're going to do is they're going to try to turn it over to their young players and find out who they can count on long term. And to me, that's probably the right thing to do. The biggest difference between the Jets and the Oilers was depth. Once the Jets got going, they were deeper on the blue line and they were deeper up front. And especially when Edmondson played those two guys together, Draisaitl and McDavid, they had one line that was dangerous and Winnipeg had three. So I think looking at that series, Edmonton's going to try to find out how many of their young guys. They've got to give them chances to prove they can play. And I think that's what they're going to do.
So with that said, money for Nurse, he's already at 5'6". He'll make well north of that. If Larson comes back, that'll be topping 4.16. Does that just...
I heard Larson's number is right around where it is now.
Okay. With that said, we're talking... instead of $9-10 million, it's going to be above that. Does that just take them out of any hope of re-signing Hopkins?
I got to tell you, that one has been tough. They were really close before the season started, and it fell apart at the last second. I don't know what's going to happen there. Whatever was on the table then, I'm not convinced is on the table now. And, you know, we're going to have to see. That's a negotiation that went sideways, and they've tried again a couple of times. I really don't know how to handicap that one.
Yeah.
I really don't.
It's a discussion we've had here the last couple of days. With it's $6 million of salary. You're getting that cap space back. How are the Oilers best? How can they best weaponize that? Is it to bring Nugent Hopkins back? Is it to spend it elsewhere? I'll just set it up and then Rhett can jump in if he wants. Rhett feels like it's a major misplay by the Oilers to just lose this guy for nothing. They either should have signed him to an extension prior to this. They should have traded him for something before the start of last season. For a number one overall pick at the age of 28 to just walk is unacceptable.
I don't know if I agree with that. And there's a couple of reasons. Like I said, something happened here. And I believe that it was always the plan that Nugent Hopkins was going to stay, and they wanted to keep him. I think anyone who's familiar with this situation will tell you that they thought it was going to happen, and it got mangled. And now I don't know. To me, I don't think it's the worst thing if someone walks, as long as you do something good with the cap room. I think that, especially, you know, I had someone tell me this week, guys, that they don't think the cap's going up for 5 years. And I think that opinion is pretty widely shared. Now, someone might be proven to be wrong, but I think right now, I think there's a lot of people who feel that way. At the end of the day, you know, they were trying to compete at some level this year. I do think they see value inside Nugent Hopkins and the organization. I do think they were trying to sign him. But if he walks, I think just saying, okay, we'll take the $6 million in cap room and do something with it, I don't think that's the end of the world. Now, you've got to do something with it that's useful. But I don't look at it that way anymore. I think cap space is a weapon, especially where we're going. And sometimes you may have to do that as a strategy if you feel the player can help you during the season. And I think that that's exactly the way Winnipeg or Edmonton approached it. I think they always tried to re-sign him. And if he walks and if it doesn't work out and they can use the cap space, then I don't see that as being a terrible strategy. I don't.
One of the examples, I guess, would be John Tavares. First overall pick, spent his entire career with the Islanders. And they were going to the playoffs. They were going to make a run. They keep him. He walks for nothing. And then they didn't spend the money, I don't think, right away, because I'm looking at the 18-19 roster in New York. And it's Barzal and Bailey and Nelson and Lee, Eberle. Those guys were there. But it wasn't long before they were signing J.G. Pageau and using that money. So they didn't spend it immediately, but it did get spent.
Barzal's second deal, too.
Yeah, so...
And Brock Nelson.
Yeah.
So would and you, Eberle.
So even if you don't replace them immediately, you know that money's going to get eaten up some way. I don't know. I agree. I think they got 10 years out of him. You never want to lose guys for nothing that you could get something significant for. Could you have gotten a first rounder for Nugent Hopkins or an impact defenseman a year ago?
You might have, but I think I think the plan was always to sign him and keep him. And, you know, I'm a big believer too. Like there's a lot of debate about what Nurse is going to get signed for, right? And, like, I understand, you know, people debate it. I got no problem with it. It's the fun about sports. There's one thing I can tell you about a guy like Darnell Nurse. You watch him play, especially that game four. If you let him walk and you have to replace him, what are the chances that you are going to replace him with someone who cares as much about the Oilers as he does? That guy is an Oiler. He clearly cares about the team. He's tight with McDavid. You know, like, he has a loyalty to them because they're the team that drafted him and they're the team that developed him. You can tell by the way he plays the attachment he has to the team. It's going to, like, you guys know how hard it can be to bring players to Alberta. If you have to go out and get someone to replace them, chances are they're coming there because you outbid everybody else. Is that player going to have the attachment to the organization that Darnell Nurse has? I don't know.
Wouldn't it be the same for Hopkins, though? Is he, like...
Yeah, like, I understand. I do think he has an attachment to them. But like I said, we had a negotiation here that went sideways. And I just don't know if they're going to be able to put it. Mm. They've tried to get back together and work it out. They've had a lot of trouble.
I would understand him being maybe not as valued by their offer as he would be elsewhere. I mean, the way he slots in that lineup isn't ideal with two elite centers in McDavid and Draisaitl, plus they brought the McLeod kid up for the playoffs. I mean, if he played a different position or didn't see himself as a center, maybe that deal is more easily done.
Maybe. I mean, but his production hasn't been as great lately, unfortunately. Like, I do think Nugent Hopkins cares about the Oilers a lot. I just think that Nurse and, you know, as you said, he's either a winger or he's a third-line center. And the other guy, Nurse, he's their number one D. There's a difference.
Totally.
Moving on a little bit, the Nashville Predators, they decided to hang on to some of their guys. They had Michael Granlund, an expiring contract. They have one more year. We heard all about Ekholm possibly bringing in huge return. They kept them both. They went to the playoffs. They played six games, and it's great. It's easy now to look back and say they should have. But how big, I mean, what kind of return would there have been for Ekholm, and does that change if they try to trade him now in the offseason? One more year at 3.75.
Well, you know, they gave Carolina everything they could handle. That was a tighter series than I think a lot of us were expecting. You know, I think they have two big decisions to make. Ekholm, a year away from unrestricted free agency, and Saros is arbitration eligible and a year away from unrestricted free agency. So they have, Ekholm, I think they will sit down with him and talk to him about an extension. You know, we'll see what happens there. But I think they got to do the same thing with the goalie. So I see those as their two biggest questions, is those two particular players, the goalie and the defenseman. And there still will be a lot of interest in Ekholm if they decide to go that route. The biggest issue that I think people had with Ekholm is not his play. It was the combination of what it would cost to get him and what kind of position it could put you in the expansion draft. So I think those two things are still potentially a factor, but I do think Nashville's going to sit down with them and discuss what an extension could look like.
The Penguins also bow out this week. One more year of Malkin, one more year of Letang. They got Sid for a while, but it seems like they're poised for another run at it next year. Tough go for Tristan Jarry. He's got two more years. Casey DeSmith is there for another year, although 1.25, you can probably make that work somehow. But how desperate will they be to change up or add to their goaltending?
I think they're going to have to be. There's no way they can come back with that. You know, I really felt that New York beat Pittsburgh, and this isn't to take away from the Islanders, they beat them because Sorokin beat Jarry. And that's the difference. I thought the Penguins were actually pretty good in the series. They didn't get the saves the Islanders got.
And, well, the last two games for sure, right? I mean,
yes.
You spit the puck up.
That to me is a dangerous thing, because I don't think Pittsburgh was bad. I just think that they got beat in goal. Now, my belief is that organization wants to keep all their big guys. That the big three, 87, 71, 58, that they want to keep them. And those guys have control over a lot of their futures anyway. You know, like, to me, I just don't see them as I think a lot of people could say, oh, they're not very good, break them up. I thought they were pretty good this year. They won the division. They gave the Islanders a battle. They got beaten in goal. That's why they lost the series. I don't know how much I'd be overreacting to this if I was the Penguins.
Same story in Washington, or is it a little different there?
No, I think Washington's going to be a little bit different. I think that they could look to change their mix a bit. Like, you know, like McLellan went public with, I think, something a lot of us were suspecting, that Kuznetsov is on thin ice there. And I think they have looked at moving him. It's hard. He's got a big ticket and he hasn't played very well. So you've got a real problem here in terms of how easy it will be to move him. But I think they will. I think they will look to change their mix a little bit. I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they'll get Ovi signed. I'm not as concerned about that. But this is a team that, you know, I think there's some real disappointment and internal concern about the way things have gone the last year.
And it's interesting to hear TJ Oshie very publicly saying, I know everyone sees me as a guy that could go to Seattle and be the guy there. I don't want to be the guy there. I want to stay here.
I'm not convinced Seattle would take him, and that's nothing against Oshie. I think Seattle's going to really look for salary flexibility. That's one of the questions I'm getting, or one of the feelings I'm getting, is that, you know, they're going to look to have some salary flexibility, not only for this year, but maybe from years to come. You look at some of the free agent classes that, you know, where we're headed, defensemen next year, for example, depending on what some teams do. I don't think Seattle's going to be looking to eat too many big contracts unless you really bribe them.
And this is interesting. This is, I think, the most fascinating wrinkle in the offseason is that every team is like, oh, maybe Seattle could help us. They'll be very selective on who they help, and I don't think it's going to be cheap. Like, what are the great plots you could see Seattle unearthing here to really take advantage of teams in tough spots?
Well, I think they're going to make the same efforts of bribery that Vegas did. But I really think that – I do think that one of the things Seattle's considering is, how do we maintain – our maximum flexibility, not only for this year, but for years to come. And, you know, I'm not convinced they're going to go after some of those long-term big deals unless, you know, people really incentivize them. Cap space in this league is going to be critical. Seattle comes in with a blank slate. I think they plan on taking advantage of that. So I'm not convinced they're going to be too interested. You know, Oshie's a tremendous person, a great player, but I'm just not convinced they're going to be interested in too many of those deals.
Do you see an offer sheet as potential? I know we sort of have not agreed on whether we'd like to see them or not, or whether it will happen or not.
Well,
is this a unique spot where it might work?
One of the things we're waiting for this year, and they usually come out around the final, is the offer sheet list, which basically says how much it's going to cost you to do an offer sheet in terms of picks.
Like the compensation thresholds.
Yeah, the compensation, right. Thank you, Ryan. I forgot the word. They might be very low this year because of revenues and the cap and everything, right? Hmm. Like there are some people who suspect that the compensation levels might be as low as they've ever been. And I think that's really interesting. Put it this way. The agents will always try. They always will. You have to have a willing team to do it. But I know some agents are really curious to see what those thresholds are going to be.
It's a fascinating offseason. Between Seattle and, you say, flat cap, and if all teams are working on the belief that it's a 3 to 5 year thing, not a 1 year deal, and then...
I don't think this is going to... The money owed to the owners is going to be in the $1 billion range.
Holy.
This is not a short-term thing.
And then for RFAs, offer sheets, and for an unrestricted free agent, how desperate, how hardball are you going to play? How much hardball? How badly do you want to be in the league? You know what I mean?
Yep. I mean, the Seattle thing really helps. There's no question. You know, 25 or so more jobs. That's a big deal. But it's going to be tight. There's no question about it. And everybody's kind of aware of it. People see it.
Hair looked good last night. I don't know what you did, what you did, but it
looked
all
right.
Got
through that middle phase. He's rolling now.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Remember Berkey did that? He had to get through that middle stage.
Mucky middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Berkey's hair to me, I don't know what it's like, a dome. I don't think it's ever really comparable.
You're on your way.
Fighter helmet, yeah.
You're on your way. Have a good weekend, man. Appreciate you.
All right, guys, take care.